Hi guys, welcome to another episode of TNM Bull. It's your host today, Jay, and actually, I've got a new co-host today. How are you today, Praise? You well?
I'm all right, mate. 2-0 to the Gunners. I'm tough, mate.
Already, just let people know, just for another one, we've got another Arsenal fan. It's getting quite annoying, this is, but here we go. Horrible weekend for football.
What do you mean horrible weekend, mate? What do you mean horrible weekend? I've had a lovely weekend.
Football is in a very dark shadow. But on a serious note, I mean, small team wins all around. I mean, Arsenal won.
Listen to him giving it.
You know, all the small teams won. What did you reckon to the match for Arsenal? We'll start there.
Do you know what? I think, as you know, we had a conversation the night before the match, didn't we?
Yeah.
And you asked me if I was confident, and I said, you know what? I'm not, because I've been seeing Leicester's form with Tielemans, Vardy love scoring against Arsenal, and that new striker theirs. And they know how to play out from the back. They know how to cause you issues. So I wasn't expecting anything. I was a draw at best. That's for Arsenal. That's what I was expecting. But that first 25 minutes, Arsenal played with some tenacity. I saw like elbows flying into tackles, Ben White giving it some, leaving some bruises at the end of his tackles. And I was thinking, okay, all right then. We've been doing very well on set pieces. I think like we've had like 3-4, maybe 5 goals in the last 8 from set pieces, from corners. Partey scored his first goal from a corner, and then Gabriel scored from the corner. So we're doing well. We're building on our momentum. I thought Leicester, they didn't really show up, but I think they didn't expect Arsenal to play the way they played in the first 20 minutes. They expected the Arsenal that they know. And that Arsenal didn't show up. We actually had a solid performance for everyone. Ramsdale, Tomiyasu, I've loved. He's just a revelation down that right, man. He's just, I love him. Emile Smith-Rowe in the middle. It brings a balance to Arsenal. And I love the fact that Lacazette and Aubameyang play together, because I hate when Lacazette's up top, especially when we play 4-2-3-3-1. He doesn't know what to do, in my opinion. I love Aubameyang, but he needs solid support behind him, because sometimes he does get lazy when he's pressing without the ball. But I was surprised. I was shocked. I even texted you. I was like, I was gobsmacked. Yeah. That we were up 2-0 25 minutes. I did not expect that from Arsenal.
Really screwed my bet up. Really screwed my bet up. I thought you were going to get smashed. I really did. Like you're saying, Vardy just has a thing about scoring against Arsenal. But I mean, let's be honest. Who thought Ramsdale would be this good for Arsenal? Because you can't tell me you thought it would break. You can't tell me, mate. I never rated Leno anyway. I really didn't.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that Leno part, yeah.
Ramsdale, he's looking good. What do you think? Obviously, I don't watch Arsenal in and out. What do you think, Ramsdale?
You should, man. It's good for your health. I think it will help lower your blood pressure. It should. Do you know what? When we first signed him, I saw a lot of Arsenal fans saying, oh, he's coming from relegated teams. He's coming from every team he's been at. They've been relegated. I love watching compilations. I love watching comps, especially anytime Arsenal's linked with the player that they look like they're serious with in terms of purchasing. I go watch the comps, and anytime I would watch the teams he was in, it's because they all had shoddy defences. But he was always pulling out worldy saves. I like him because of the character. You know when I was saying that, like, no, I've seen it to my brother. Football's got a lot of professionals now, which is lovely, but we have no characters. He was winding up the Leicester fans behind. Yeah, I've watched a lot of Ramsdale comps before he moved to Arsenal. And he looked like a competent enough keeper. But every team that he was at, he had just shoddy defence in front of him. But because of that, you saw the amount of saves he had to pull off. He's a tall figure. And I love his character. That's probably, for me, the best thing about him. He's imposing. When defenders do a good job, he goes up to them shouting, giving them praise. When they mess up, he goes up to them.
I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen that. But trust me, he will be in their face going, yes, lad. When they mess up, he's in their faces going, what are you doing? As a defender, I want to be scared of my keeper like that. Do you know what I mean? I want him to let me know.
Schmeichel, I can see.
Even Schmeichel said that was like one of the greatest saves he's seen. in a while on Twitter yesterday. He tweeted saying that, and I feel sorry for his son, for the Leicester keeper, because imagine you having a stinker of a game and your dad's giving praise to the other kid.
Yeah, oh man, that's harsh. That's brutal.
But for me, I'm gonna be honest. Yeah, I didn't think much of him when he first moved, but I knew that he was a competent keeper. I thought he would actually be a really, really competent number two. But I've loved the revelation.
I really did. I really thought the thing for me for Leno is, and again, a lot of people jump down my throat because they're like, "How can you judge Arsenal? You know, when you're a Spurs fan." But the thing is, I think it does take someone's outside view. I know it's harsh when it's, you know, but I remember that throw-in. I can't remember who it was against, and Leno put he hid behind the attacker, and the ball went in. I'm sure it was against Brentford. You know.
Yeah, I remember. Yes.
And it was like looking for a foul. And I'm just thinking, if he just went for the ball, he would have saved it. It was just so weird.
He's a professional. This is what I'm saying. Football now has got a lot of professionals. You know, they're looking for professional fouls. You know? And it's just annoying. That's what it's just. I need character, and Ramsdale gives me that. He's a cheeky lad. He's a wind-up merchant. He'll put in that. If you really look at him closely, especially when attackers are trying to, you know, put their bodies in front of him, he'll sneak elbows in. Him and Ben White. If you watched the game yesterday, and I did, they sneak elbows in, and I like that, just to let the attackers know that, mate, you try that again,
I'm here.
We're gonna keep just jamming our elbows into you. And yeah. I haven't seen that in the Arsenal defense. I'm talking pre-2010.
Oh, really? Well, I was watching it earlier because obviously I knew you were coming on the show, and I thought, Gabriel, you know,
Colossus,
Ben White together.
Colossus, I love those two.
You know, it's really what Spurs are missing. We've got Romero, obviously, but we've got no one with him. Dier and Sanchez, give me a heart attack, mate.
Pardon? I think you've got a good defender in Dier.
Mate, I'll swap you.
No. He's got
the pace of. There's nothing to compare. Snail is just not even the right speed, mate. You know, you look on feet, he's in a minus.
I feel sorry for you, and I've got a question. Because the first time I saw him play, I was like, oh, this isn't it. That, what's his name? Royals, whatever his name is.
Don't.
Do you know what? I watched yesterday's Spurs match. I watched it, yeah. And I think I was commentating. I was sending you a text.
Yeah.
Anytime I see him play, positionally, he's awkward.
Yeah.
The way he approaches the ball, I don't know what it is about his body shape. Maybe it's because he's tall. Mm-hmm. He's just very sketchy. That's all I can say. Why is he starting? I need to ask you that question. Why is he starting?
Right. So basically what happened is the problem is, right, we had Kyle Walker. Okay. And then Kyle Walker obviously come up at, well, we got Kyle Walker right back. And so this is good. And then we got Trippier once we got rid of Walker. And then we thought we could keep doing it, getting rid of our best right backs and just replace him, it'd be fine. And then once we got rid of Trippier, we got Walker Peters. And then it started going a bit down. We obviously replaced him for Højbjerg, great swap for everyone. And then we got Serge Aurier, that didn't work. Then we got Matt Doherty, for some reason he's not even starting. And then we got eventually Tanganga, which is great, love him, but now he's broken the first team. He seems to be very aggressive, but not in a good way.
I hear that.
And then you've got Royal Emerson, right? And I remember just before he signed, and loads of Arsenal, you know, fans coming up to me going, oh, we wanted him, he's a great. And I was like, why? He's a 19-year-old, I believe. He's proving nothing. Oh, because he's come from Barca. People think that he's awesome. He's amazing. He's an ex-coming. Nah. The only reason they sold him is the fact of they need money.
They need cash.
Yeah, and that's why they sold him. He's an amazing prospect. I'm like, you can't be a prospect in the Prem at this level. You need to be solid. You need to have something amazing. Unless if you're Ronaldo, it's not. The guy is rubbish. I know he's only just started, but like you said, positioning awkward. He gave the ball away so many times.
And do you know what? I was watching United, and United were having some joy on that left because you can easily drag him in to play a 1-2 around him.
Just having a party, mate.
Over and over, and I was like, the way he approaches the attacker, it's like you've already given the attacker the option to play around you.
Yeah.
And I was just very, very confused. I don't know why Ndombele didn't start yesterday. Please explain that one to me.
You made me giggle yesterday, right? And as soon as you said it, the commentator said it as well, right? Which made me laugh. And they went, I think Nuno just wants to go home.
Oh, it's when he took Moura off, yeah? Did you hear the despise from the crowd?
I don't get it. Don't get it. The only player who's performing and he takes him off, right? I don't know if you remember ever Dream Team, right? Sky One. And there was a manager there and he had to bet on the team to go down. I think Nuno's doing that.
Nuno's against you guys. I don't know what you've done. I don't know. Maybe someone in the back room's dating his daughter and he's not.
I think Dele Alli's kicked his dog or something.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Someone's really winding up because I was watching the match here. There was a point when I was scared of Spurs, and it's on record now.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. I was scared when you guys had Poch and you were firing and you were getting into Champions League finals. I was very scared at the prospect that you guys might actually win. Not even by luck, by actual sheer competent football. Competent football, good tactics. Because you guys were scary. Especially on the break. You guys scared me. I was scared. Moura is such a... He's just one of those players where he's magical. He glides. I don't know how to explain it. When he's got the ball at his feet, he glides. And then he's got the audacity just to shoot. That's what I love about Moura. He will have a crack.
And do you know what?
He will have a solid crack. And most of the time, it's on target. He'll pull out a goal. Why you would want to take someone like Moura off, who can change the game in a split second, for Højbjerg? Now, I quite like Højbjerg. He's good, strong, but... I don't see what he was meant to do. And why especially when your job's on the line, why would you take off Moura? Why?
This is a thing, right, as well, that happens. Moura, I look at him and I think, I don't know why he stays with us. The man has been disrespected so many times. He was left out the Champions League final, even though he single-handedly got us there.
Got by playing Ajax. By himself,
can we point out, right? This is a guy, like you were saying, who glides and does everything, and we all love him. And every single time we're linked with a player, it's always, Moura is going to get sold. The club don't rate him. And I look at him and I'm thinking, the fans love him. He should be starting every game.
I'm an Arsenal fan and I love Moura.
it's mental, mate. And yet you see managers go, oh, I don't know if it's because his age or something.
Maybe he doesn't work without the ball.
He is a bit lazy, to be fair. He is in that aspect of it. And if he loses the ball, he gets mardy. But there's so many worse players that need... Dele Alli, like I was saying to you before, have you checked your shed praise? Because I think the guy's gone missing for 3 years. I've been putting milk carton adverts out, going, have you seen him?
Dele Alli. I hate that man, because he caused Arsenal all sorts of problems when he... Especially
when he was good. Mate, he hasn't been good for 3 years. And I really think that, well... Do you know you guys with Arteta, right?
Yeah,
like you were saying, are you still doing the thing where you get the ball and you just cross it non-stop? Because that's the last time I saw Arsenal, is you getting the ball and they were just crossing it.
Cross it. And do you know what it is? Yeah, we were so left side biased because Tierney was the only one who was willing to bomb up. Yeah? The thing that I hated at that point was Xhaka. Do you know what? Xhaka's a great player. And the reason why I, at that point, disliked Xhaka was because he has no impetus going forward. He's not a forward-thinking player, which is why he works in a 4-2-3-1. He's great at getting it, distributing it to the outside, but to actually do a penetration pass through the middle, oh no, which is why we started playing what I called it, donut football, just from the left wing to the right wing. Now, the thing about Arsenal is, why are you trying to put crosses in when we have no one who can head it? Giroud's gone. What are we putting crosses in for?
I'm going to talk as we didn't talk the other day, right? But we'll do it again. And Aubameyang. Right. And people tell me how amazing Aubameyang and Lacazette are. And just like when people come up to me and go, Dele Alli is amazing. And when you watch your team, you go, they're not. They're really not. Can you tell me how you rate Aubameyang and Lacazette? Currently,
do you know what? I'm big fans of both players. Let's start off by that. For two reasons, right? When Aubameyang's on fire and he's feeling good, he's a nightmare.
Yeah.
He's a nightmare. But the one thing I hate about him. I feel sorry for him in this instance. He moved to Arsenal when football was transitioning in mindset, right? Because Aubameyang, if you remember him when he was really firing, he was at Dortmund.
Yeah.
And at that point, there was a different type of football in terms of just how managers approached the game, played. You'd have midfielders just being solid midfielders. You know what I mean? Do your job as a midfielder so the striker can do his job as a striker. And Aubameyang was firing. At Arsenal, he came in a time where we were transitioning. But, you know, those first two seasons, he was bagging his goals. But I think he was just out of sheer excitement. Out of the two, of Aubameyang and Lacazette, I've got, the jersey that you saw me wearing, the yellow one, it's faded at the back, but it's a Lacazette jersey. I love Lacazette because he offers you way... He's like a Firmino. I don't know if you heard people comparing Laka and Firmino.
I haven't, actually.
They're the type of number nines that they draw midfielders out of position.
Unselfish.
They're very... Lacazette, if you see, most of the time, he's playing his role almost as a number eight, right? He'll come into midfield just to drag other midfielders out of position to allow runners to come in, and then he'll start running on the late, coming on the late. He always gets one or two clear chances every game. The only thing I don't like about Lacazette is he's not clinical. If Lacazette was clinical, oh my God.
You'd love
it. Oh my God, I'd love it. Even now, though, I'd say get rid of Aubameyang. If I had to choose out of the two, get rid of Aubameyang, because there are certain games where if defenders lock him off, there's nothing else he's doing for the game. He's quiet. You don't hear from him.
I think I've been far too nice for you now, right? So I'm gonna wind quite a few people up now, right? Hey, you've got certain channels like AFTV, okay? Do you think they have an effect on players?
Yes.
With Ozil, it seems to be with Aubameyang. Yeah, I don't know if it's good or a bad thing. You know, there's people. I mean, like you said before, I used to be scared of Arsenal. And now, once you lose, I go on that channel to have a laugh, mate.
You know, I...
Do you rate it? Or do you think it's a good idea? I mean, I think fan channels are a great idea.
Fan channels are a great idea. But I think, especially with AFTV, because Arsenal were going through such a... I remember when I was in uni, right? I was... my flatmate, he was my favourite flatmate. We still talk now, to be fair. He's a United fan, right? Oh, he was there when United got slapped 5-0 at Manchester U. Oh, I loved it.
I bet you did.
I texted him just to see if he was right. I was like, mate, are you all right? He's like, mate, I'm at the game. And I was like, leave. It was 2-0 at this point. I was like, mate, you might as well leave now because I don't think you guys are going to get any better. And it just kept getting worse. But no, I digress. We were talking about... what were we talking about now? You see,
AFTV.
I love you for Robbie. Do you know what I'm saying? Good on you, Robbie. You know, because he genuinely did start the channel with good intentions, right? But giving the fans too much of a voice, and especially then when you couple that with reactionary people on Twitter, it just creates a lot of noise that's not needed. And like, when you start seeing Aubameyang, I like, you know, that, you know, they're interacting with the fans, but I think there should always be a bit of a... you know, a respectful distance between the fans and the players. You know, you see Aubameyang on Yanomai's channel, you know, pimping his car out. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because even when I was reading a story, when Tevez came to United, he came in the Audi that United gave him, and then everyone was laughing at him. And then Rooney came up to me and was like, listen, take my Lambo. Right?
Really?
Yeah. Because everyone was laughing at Tevez because he came in an Audi. And then he's like, listen, take my Lambo. It's okay. I've got enough money to buy about 15 a month.
Yeah.
Take my life. And I like that I found that out 10 years later. Do you know what I mean? As a fan.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's what was happening. Whereas nowadays, because we're so glued into it, right? It's easier to abuse. It's easier to judge, especially like someone like Pogba who likes getting haircuts every 2 weeks, right? Mm. But that's him as a person. Do you know, they're allowed to be people. But when they're constantly in the fans' eyes, it's easy to say, oh, he should be at training. Why is he always getting haircuts? Blah, blah, blah. So channels like AFTVs, it's a hit and miss. Me as an Arsenal fan, I don't watch AFTV.
Do you not?
I don't. Because now it's a commercial brand. Back in the day, I never watched it anyway because I just didn't want to hear what the Arsenal fans asked. I love Arsenal, but sometimes the Arsenal fans can actually just...
toxic, right?
Just toxic, very toxic. I think it's because we were used to winning under Wenger. And then when things started going pear-shaped, you saw who the real supporters were. The real supporters, they'll take it, but they'll internalise it and they'll move on. Then you get these reactionary supporters now that were now given reactions on YouTube on purpose. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They started being...
I 100% agree with you, by the way.
You know what I'm saying? They wanted to, you know, act to the occasion. What is that? You know, especially what's his name? DT and that.
Yeah, whatever the clown's
name. You know, they built brands for themselves. And, you know, I'm happy for them in the aspect that they're getting money, but it feeds into such a, like you said, toxic mindset. And they feed off that. Do you know what I... If Arsenal start doing well, mark my words, AFT numbers will go down. Because it's the rivals that are watching when Arsenal capitulate, not the actual Arsenal fans. Yep. No, I don't need another fan to tell me how crap we are. I saw the match. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not a fan. I like expressions though. I like expressions.
I love expressions, mate. I love him. And I tell you something, bro. Some of his put downs are the funniest thing. Class A, don't say the rest. Harry Kane, you know.
But I think it works because he's alone. Do you know what I mean? He's a lone voice. Whereas Robbie, if you actually look at him as a character and a person, he's actually grown as AFTV has grown. Robbie used to be just quiet. He'd ask the question and he'd just point the mic. Now he's actually having to be a character because it's a commercial thing now. And
well, it's like, just that with AFTV people and everything. I remember that DT going, I don't like any Tottenham fans and everything apart from expressions and all that. And the thing is, right, that you point out earlier, which I think is a great point, is that you watch games and you realise you're not as big as you once were. And I think you saying that, I've just come to realisation that we're not a Champions League final team anymore. We're not the attacking. At one point, you used to go to somebody and go, oh, my team, say Burnley, but I love Spurs by the way that they play. We used to
have a
choice of team, but now we're like,
you know, you're a laughing stock again.
Yeah, we are a joke. It's one of them things of going, oh, who needs a win away? Oh, we're against Spurs. Oh, that's it. 3 points in the bag.
When you guys had Poch, you were scary, man.
We need to get over the days of Poch like you do with Wenger even.
Yeah, yes. But do you know what? How do you guys do that? Because one thing about
Tottenham, we both do it?
Well, the thing is about Arsenal is they I don't want to say too much because in the past I've got too excited too early with Arsenal. You'd love that, wouldn't you?
I would. No. Go see, you're going to win the league or something ridiculous. Yeah, go on.
When Arteta came, Arteta came and I'm glad that he won that FA against Chelsea because we won it against a big team, right? So I was thinking, ooh, there's promise here. And then we just tanked. And I was thinking, great. But in terms of football and philosophy, I could see what Arteta was trying to achieve with Arsenal, right? And Arteta, I like him because he's got time. He actually has time in the backing of the board. And the board are saying, you know what? Build what you want to build. We've got you. We'll support you. At Tottenham, I don't know. I was even shocked when you got Mourinho because I thought that was a desperation deal. You know, in my fair opinion, that was a desperation deal.
And if you weren't going to get Mourinho, can I point out we got Mourinho because you was linked with Mourinho and we just acted a tiny bit before.
Didn't get him. Because with Mourinho, you're never going to build a legacy team. You're never going to build a style of play. At least with Arteta, I can actually see, oh, that's the style of play you're going for. Now we're executing on it. Which manager is going to solve Spurs' problems?
Funny enough, my own missus, who doesn't watch football, said, do you know what? The managers keep getting sacked, but the players need to get sacked. And I was like, these players single-handedly have sacked managers.
Yeah.
Dele Alli, everybody else, they sacked Poch. There was no one else, but it was them who sacked it. And ever since Poch is gone, we need to stop living in them days of Poch. We're not that team. We are literally a team that finished 6th or 7th now. That's us. You know, at the start of the season, we beat our own record by winning the Prem in August. You know, and from that point, I just don't know where... What do you do? Do you do... And the thing is, with Arsenal as well, right? Do you go down the thing of going, it's a long-term project because we won this weekend?
It has to be for me, man.
If you lost this weekend, I promise you, you'd be thinking, we need to get rid of Arteta. Same with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, right? I remember people going, we need Arteta to have as much time as Ollie did because he's rebuilt the side and everything. And then next weekend, it'll be like, Ollie out. This one in, Ollie's in. You're thinking, is that us being fickle as football fans? Or is it no stability anymore?
Because if you remember when Ollie came into the play and Arteta came into play, Lampard came into play as well.
All them young managers, yeah.
Yeah, people were pitting up, you know, the three against each other. For me, Chelsea should have let go of Lampard, in my opinion. Mm. I think they should have genuinely stuck with him because he understands football. The reason why, like, Nuno isn't doing well is he doesn't understand football at this level.
Yeah.
At Wolverhampton, he did. Because he understood that, you know, sometimes it's squeaky bum time with Wolves. Do you know what I mean? I used to work in Birmingham when Nuno was doing things for Wolves. And when I tell you, the whole of Wolves loved Nuno, right? I'd see cars with Nuno's face stickers on him. And I was thinking...
Really?
No, I'm not lying to you. Nuno was loved by not just the Wolves fans, the whole city of Wolverhampton loved him because he brought something to Wolverhampton that they hadn't had in a long time, right?
Yeah.
Which was a consistent style of play. But I was saying to you, it's because he had the players that he wanted. Do you know what I mean? It was a very Portuguese contingent, Hispanic contingent. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which I'm sure he'd have worked with. Now, at the level of Tottenham, right, where you don't have really much of a say in what you want. Do you know? Even Mourinho, I don't think he had a big say in the players that he had because the players that he brought in were very underwhelming. I was like,
look,
with the money that Tottenham has
changed now, mate. Look, you watch Match of the Day, right? And at the end of it, it would say head coach or manager. Two massive different things now. You have people, right? Where say Brian the Clough, yeah, he'd go on teletext. So the massive story on it, go on teletext, and he saw someone put a bid in, and he goes, "Do you know him?" Yeah, he bought him there and then. Yeah, Brian Clough. Now, Arteta, if he sees it, he can only suggest it to the board. The board
edgy, yes. Just like, edgy, mate, please can we sign him? I really like him. And I'm thinking, Jesus Christ. Like, football's become too professional now. Let the manager be the manager.
Can't. It's not a manager. The head coaches. They're in charge of training, basically. That's it. It's every bit of the football club is now being departmentalized, you know. So you have one person doing your sponsors, you have one person doing media, you have one person doing your transfers, one person doing technical, you know, analysis. Like it's way too a committee to get transferred. Have you heard yourself? So Arteta has got to work with a squad that he didn't even pick. I'm sure he has some input of it.
He is, yeah, definitely. But the thing is, because obviously, I like reading. I think you're gonna learn that about me, which is why I don't like talking based on just emotion, right? I think that's one of the stupid, even as a football fan, it's one of the silliest things you can do because you make yourself look like a mug. Just talking about sheer passion sometimes. It's just okay, but what are the facts? And I was reading about Arsenal's backroom and. Charles Watts is someone that I follow for Arsenal, especially. I think if he's a good reporter. He's not like AFC. If anyone's listening to this and they're sick and tired of AFTV, please go and subscribe to Charles Watts, right? Because he is an absolute he's a journalist and he just gives you the facts, right?
Yeah.
This is what's happening, guys. This is what I've heard. This is the news. And he said that Arteta has gained the respect of the backroom, right? And I like that because I feel like if it keeps going the way it is, he's going to eventually, over time, have the say to be like, let's sign him and it's not an issue. Do you know what I mean? Let's sign him. It's not. But I think because he was young, if I owned Arsenal, I would have put a committee for signings because I'm like, how much can I really trust him? But I think now he's got a team that he likes because he doesn't pick teams really on character. He picks them on the quality that they need to have. Like, if you look at the Arsenal, if you look at the Arsenal overhaul, everyone's under 25. You know what I'm saying? Not big names. You know, look at Ramsdale, Tomiyasu, Tierney, Samuel Nkonga, Tavares. These aren't big names, but they fit the specification that Arteta said. I don't care which players you get, they have to meet these specifications. And look at the pitch. Look at the dynamic on the... I love that he's gone to a 4-4-2 now, because I really hated the 4-2-3-1 with my life. Oh, I hated that formation.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
In regard of obviously Arsenal and everything. Now, do you know, with the backroom stuff and everything as well, and the whole aspect of bringing them together, do you think he... I mean, there's a massive resale value as well, can we point out? So, but what's happening with William as well? Well, I mean, right. is he going? Because that's a lot of transfer money. And the owners of Arsenal as well. I mean, there's just... I mean, we can do these for hours, but I'm trying to cut these questions short so we can move on. But quickly, you know, what... With players... trying to bring the age of the overall squad down, which is a great idea, very for it. Wait for Spurs and Poch, obviously. But William, was that Arteta? Was that somebody else? Was it just because he was free?
I'm gonna hold my hands up. When we signed William, I was happy, right? I was happy because any time that I remember him playing, I'm like, oh, William's good. Now, my little brother's an avid Chelsea fan. When I say that, I like...
Sorry about that.
No, it's all right, man. Right, man. Avid Chelsea fan, and my mum's a Liverpool fan, so our household is very loving.
Christmas must be amazing.
Oh, mate. Do you know what? But we all respect each other's teams, and we'll laugh equally, which is what I love. But with Willian, I thought we were getting a decent player, and my little brother looked at me, and he didn't even say it in a nasty way, right? He was like, praise. Willian will perform for one game, and then for 10 games straight... he'll be as useful as a chocolate teapot. And I was looking at him and I was like, oh, you're giving... He's like, praise. I'm telling you, mate, I'm so glad we're getting rid of this guy. We signed him on big wages, and on his first game, I looked at my little brother. I was like, you're chatting absolute nonsense, mate. What you're saying, Willian's great. And then he looked at me, he's like, just wait for it. Just wait for it, mate. I think that was another panic buy. I think that was a gaffer. I call them gaffer tape buys, where it's like, let's buy someone with Prem experience because...
Hi guys, it's Will from TN Bull. And before we start this podcast, I just want to make a massive shout out to BK Accountants. They're an easy way to complete your tax returns. So let me explain, okay? They offer accountancy services suitable for absolutely everybody. They're a proactive and friendly service. They're open 24/7, and most importantly, they guarantee to be 25% cheaper than your current accountant or anybody else who is doing your accounts. Don't take mine and Jay's word for it, however. You can find them at www.bkaccountants.org.uk, or if you want to send an inquiry off, you can email accounts@bkaccountants.org.uk. Thanks for listening, and let's get into the podcast.
William was a gaffer tape buy. I think that was the logic behind that. Let's get someone who's Prem experienced that we can... I think they felt that they could trust him, right? Because when you looked at him playing for Chelsea on the odd game, you were like, oh, he's competent, he's good, he's got a good engine, he'll run the whole game. But my little brother really knows Chelsea. He says, listen, this guy is woeful. He's woeful. The way he exited Arsenal was very quiet, right? Not many. He's no longer on our page. He's gone. William left at the start.
I didn't even know he's gone. You're right.
Exactly. He's gone. The way we paid, I think it was a payoff, but it was a non-disclosure payoff.
Mm.
Because not much was reported. Again, the only reason why I knew is because Charles Watts, he's friends with us, you know, he's got his spies, the Arsenal camp. And he didn't even have much detail on it. It was a very amicable, just leave.
Yeah.
Please, just leave. And I think they put enough money down, because I think they wanted to sell him on to somebody, but no one wanted him. Who would want Willian? But
we had the same thing with Serge Aurier, mate. Exactly the same, like for like, in regarding of that, you know?
Just the whole team. Back a little backroom pain, just like just yeah. Go, mate. And yeah, Willian's gone.
Wow. That's how's Martin Odegaard done for you guys?
Why are you asking me these difficult questions?
Well, I know it's well. I'll just say because you said Emile Smith Rowe, don't they? You went for this weird thing of like getting about 4 to 5 attacking midfielders.
Do you know what? And is it the reason why people kind of got excited about Odegaard? And like, again, it's down to formation. And I'll keep banging on about it, but that 4-2-3-1 for Arsenal just didn't work before. I don't know what Arteta wanted. I think Arteta initially wanted a 4-3-3. But he didn't have the players to do it. So he was like, you know what? Let me put two centre mids in front of the defenders because I need it. He needed it, which is why Xhaka, in that formation, Xhaka is brilliant. In a 4-2-3-1, Xhaka, I will hold my hands up and say, you are brilliant because you do the job of enforcing and just protecting.
Yeah.
Anything else, you just don't know what to do. And...
Yeah.
Odegaard fits that type of... formation because he doesn't have to do a lot of running. All he does is get the ball, kind of Ozil-like, gets the ball and distributes. However, and he's great at pressing and he's great at positional play. He doesn't have the tenacity of the Prem. When Odegaard came, a lot of fans were saying, oh, what's going to happen to Emile Smith-Rowe? Is he going to be on the bench? And Arteta first team played them both, and they worked both. But the reason why Emile Smith-Rowe is starting now in front of Odegaard is the tenacity, right? Odegaard gets the ball, gets his head up, looks around. If there's a pass on, he'll execute the pass. If there's no pass on, he gets a bit shaky. He's like, oh, crap, I don't know what to do. Whereas Emile Smith-Rowe, as soon as he gets the ball, the one thing that he wants to do is drive. Yeah, I want to get up the pitch. So for me, I think Odegaard, he's a bit of a Swiss Army knife for Arteta. Because right now, Lacazette is fulfilling what I thought Odegaard would do. Just be that, be that option in the middle. I don't think it's worked out like that purely because he's not tenacious enough. Lacazette, again, he's a tenacious player. He will run for lost causes and he will keep running. Whereas Odegaard, he's a Swiss Army knife. You want him there in a technical game, in a game where running isn't going to work. That's when you put him in because technically he can find the half space. He can find just that pass. He's quality. I'm not going to say that he's not quality, but I think in the current setup, he's not good enough to stake a claim for first team football. I think his physique needs to improve first and foremost. He needs to get a bit more muscle about him because certain midfield battles, it's not really about skill in the Prem. It's just can you stay in there long enough to be dogmatic in the middle, which is why I like Partey. And even Sambi Lokonga, because they do have that physical structure to be like, you know what? If we have to do argy-bargy, I'm not losing to yous. You know what I mean? Whereas Odegaard, bit of a soft touch. He doesn't like getting close to players. He doesn't like, having his back to goal and having his hand up just in case, Tielemans is on him. He likes to get the ball in a little bit of space, turn and distribute, which is lovely. But in this current setup, I don't see him staking a claim, a starting claim. I don't see it.
Do you know what I'm thinking currently?
What are you saying?
Right, if part eight, great player. But Xhaka, this is how I see Arsenal, right? And again, we both need to realise that we're not the club. We might potentially get there back up there one day. But in the old days, if you said Mark Overmars, he went to Barca. If you showed Xhaka, he went to Hertha Berlin. Is he that good to stay in Arsenal? I always think if you've got a player, if you sold... and he'd go to a club that's lower than yours and he's not good enough to stay in your team. Well, Xhaka does probably an important part,
He can go.
Prove you need better players.
I think...
Where's he coming from?
He's injured now. He's been... he was injured... I forgot what game he got. He picked up the injury. And we got told he was out for 2 weeks. Not 2 months. And I was like, oh, God. Because he was such a... pivotal part of how we were playing at that time. Do you know what I mean? When Xhaka plays, it allows Partey to be a little bit more advanced. up.
Who would you want the pitch. Partner though? Partey was my point.
Is he the right partner for Partey? Is that the question you're asking? Is Xhaka the right partner for Partey?
Yeah.
No.
So would you have, say, Emile Smith Rowe in the... Because now you're playing a 4-4-2. Would it be Partey and Smith Rowe in the middle?
No, it's Partey and Lokonga. Partey and Sambi Lokonga in the middle.
Because we was talking as well regarding someone like... Can you imagine if you had Guendouzi back? Do you reckon he would fit?
Yes. Don't say Guendouzi's name. I love Guendouzi. And we're selling him at the end of the season as well.
This is going to the listeners, right? Just quickly. So this is what Arsenal happened. This is when I would say kind of that weird era where if you become an Arsenal player, it just turned toxic. That's when you had Pepe, William, you know, Guendouzi, Xhaka, and it all was just bad at the moment. Xhaka had the bad thing with the fans. Guendouzi's attitude was terrible. People's questioning Pepe's commitment. William was just, you know, being this weird thing. You had Aubameyang as well doing the contract talks. Everyone was kind of feeling like
it's time,
wasn't it? But, you know, Arteta sorted all that out. You've got to give him props for that. But Guendouzi's attitude, I think it's because he won European, obviously, the young boy of Europe, you know, that award, which is either a blessing or a curse. What do you think to Guendouzi?
I think if you really want to see what the issue with Arsenal and Guendouzi was look at the relationship between Guendouzi and Unai Emery, right?
Good point.
Unai Emery, you can just... My little brother used to laugh at him because he was like, Unai just looks like a sleazy bastard.
And I was like, no. he doesn't
Yeah, do you know what I mean? But he's got... And that's what I was kind of speaking to you of, like, in football, if you want to win, you need that, you know, Mourinho shithousery. You know, you need to be just a bit of a dick, you know?
Yeah.
And if you look at Guendouzi and Emery, they got along because they respected each other's kind of egos. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
With someone like Guendouzi, you don't want to tame that ego, right? You want to kind of have like an understanding of like, listen, I know what you're about, but this is what I need from you. And I don't think, because if you remember when Arteta came with this very authoritarian, they have to play the style. These are the non-negotiables. If you can't do the non-negotiables, then you don't play, right?
Yes.
And one of the non-negotiables was, you do as I'm telling you, because I need to fix this boat. Right, and Guendouzi, he's not one of those ones. You have to let him play because he's, in terms of talent, that kid is world class. I'm not kidding you. That kid there, in 10 years, should he really take his career seriously? I hope he is. Mm. He's going to be playing for France for years to come, he's going to be playing top league football for years to come because technically he's great and he hates losing. I love players that hate losing,
yeah, me too.
But at Arsenal at the time, they weren't looking to hone egos. They were just looking, like I said, they weren't professionals. If you look at Sambi Lokonga, who's kind of come to replace him, he's the Belgian, I think he's not the Belgian captain, but he's in the Belgian first team, and the team that we bought him from, he was the captain at 23, right?
Yeah.
Because he's a great professional. Absolutely great lad, great professional, will do as he's told and he'll execute. Lokonga has no... He doesn't have the flair of Guendouzi, nor does he have as big of a heart to want to just be just a prick on the field.
Yeah.
But if you look at him, he's very good professionally. You know, he takes the directions from the gaff and he executes. And I think that's what the difference in, like, managing styles between Unai and Arteta, and which is why I think, pivotally, Guendouzi didn't work with Arteta.
So, what we'll do, just to wrap this little segment up, for Arsenal, because it's been a bit 50-50, hasn't it, Arsenal and Spurs. So what we'll do, just to wrap this up, just before I move on, is what do you need to get into that top four now?
Right.
Coaching staff?
No. Because do you know what I liked about Arsenal? They got rid of all the legacy coaching staff.
Yeah, well, that's what United suffer from.
Yeah, we'll this Steve and the likes of them. They just got, you know, thank you for your service, but we're moving on now. Do you know what I mean? And I think the backroom staff, I'm okay. The backroom staff, I'm actually very happy with. I'm very happy with the backroom staff at the moment. What needs to change now is, as much as I love him, Aubameyang, you need to go, mate.
Ooh, that's a big shout.
The reason why I say that is because I was screaming for that Edward that came from Celtic.
What about Martinelli?
Do you know what it is about Martinelli? He needs to go out on loan.
You reckon?
And the reason why I say that is because I was arguing with someone, and I hate arguing with people, especially online. I really hate arguing with people online because they miss the point. They always miss the point.
Yes.
if you look at our Arsenal youth, right, the one player that Arsenal fans were crying out for more than Martinelli was William Saliba, the centre-back, right? And at the start of the season, the board decided to send him off to Marseille to play on loan. William Saliba was very pissed off. He's like, why are you sending me out? I want to start for Arsenal. Mm. But had he stayed at Arsenal, is he starting in front of Gabriel? No.
No.
Is he starting in front of Ben White?
No. It's great. Right?
It's just not start. Even though he's quality, you're too young to start at this level. So what did they do? They said, you know what? Go to France, where you're going to be first. In every single week, you are their number one, right? And get that experience. If you see how he played against Mbappe and Messi, right, I was just like, you know what, Arsenal are in good hands for the next couple of years because this kid is phenomenal. His turn of pace, positioning plays great, and he knows how to put in a slide tackle. I love that about him. He knows how to perfectly time a slide tackle. For him and his development and his progression, he needed that loan. When he's coming back to Arsenal now, yes, he can challenge now. At least Ben White. I'm not going to say he can challenge Gabriel, but he can challenge Ben White for a starting spot. Definitely now. I'm very confident in that. Martinelli, it's like when Ronaldo, I don't want to compare him to Ronaldo, but in terms of just talent, he was like when Ronaldo came, you're a bit too eager to still play the, you know, that direct football. You're not really understanding tactically where you need to be and what you need to be doing consistently, right? If you look at Ronaldo now, especially his goal yesterday, that fantastic volley, he knew where he needed to be. He no longer does those runs down the wing, dribbling, doing stepovers. No, it's now positional play and timing, because that's what you are. That's what you essentially want to be if you want to be a good striker, a good, you know, striker that comes in and plays off. Martinelli needs to go out on loan. So does Balogun, but we shouldn't sell those two.
They'll get in the top four?
They'll definitely help us solidify the charge to the top four. I think maybe when we get to a place where now we're kind of consistently pushing for fifth, it's going to be the one signing. You know that one odd signing that just changes everything. But I think that one signing needs to be a complete striker, because that's one thing Arsenal's lacked for a while: a complete striker, a striker that can poach, a striker that can shoot from range, a striker that can head the ball. Because Arsenal have the players besides the striker to facilitate chances for a good striker. And I wanted that Edward from Celtic. But I think, who got him? Was it? Who got that Edward from Celtic? Who got him? It's a Prem team, was it? It's not Leicester. Leicester didn't get him.
I'd say Everton.
He went to Everton and he scored against us. I think he did score. No, he's Everton. I don't know where he went, but I remember watching his reels and I was like, this is a complete striker. He's not the finished product. And that's another thing. Arsenal shouldn't go for finished products. They shouldn't. No. They should go for products that show enough consistent potential. And he did. He can head the ball, finish with both feet, from range, close range. And that's what you need in a game where you're playing a Burnley, where they're sitting deep on you, right? You know, you're not really penetrating them from the middle because they're sat so compact. You're going to have to be whipping balls in from, you know, over the top or from the wings. And right now, if Arsenal whip balls in from the wings, whose head is it going on top of?
Yeah, no, I totally know what you say. See, the thing is, that's what I was saying. What do you think to Calvert-Lewin? Do you think he's a player for Arsenal? Because I know a couple of Arsenal fans, not all of them, who really want him for you guys.
I do you know what? I would love a player like Calvert-Lewin. I genuinely think he would. I'm not going to say he would. He would definitely take us into the realms of the top four comfortably, like Chelsea, Liverpool. But we would definitely have more impetus going forward. He definitely will take Arsenal's attack a level up because he's complete.
Is it Crystal Palace, by the way, Eduardo?
Eduardo, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he scored against us. I remember because I was watching that game with my little brother, and I was saying, look, that's who I wanted, a complete striker where you can give him the ball in various ways. With Aubameyang, you have to give him ball to feet, or you have to you know, put him through. Do you know what I mean? Very rarely will he take the ball and just go make something happen. Or very rarely will you whip a ball in and he's... Because everyone always says Calvert-Lewin, oh, header, header. If you look at Calvert-Lewin's finishing, especially when the ball's crossed in, it's also with feet. He also can finish with feet from crosses. First time as well. That's the thing I hate about Lacazette. Sometimes the ball comes into him and he takes too many touches. Yesterday's goal proves that. Our first Emile Smith goal.
There's quite a few players who do that. That one too many. Like I was saying to you before the other day, it reminds me of Sterling, but, you know.
Sterling of old. You know, Sterling of old used to do that. You're in a great position just to slap it once, man. Just put your foot through it. I don't care if you miss. Just do it. But luckily for that goal, for our second goal, the ball came into Lacazette. Lacazette should have just taken it first time into the bottom left corner or to the left post. That's what I expect my number nine to do. The ball comes in first time, slap it in, finish it. He scuffed it because he tried taking too many touches and the ball, luckily, ended up in the path of Emile Smith-Rowe. And that's what Arsenal have been doing as of late. Our goals are coming from that type of scenario, not really a killer instinct scenario, but we're getting lucky, fortunate bounces here and there. You know what I mean? Most of our goals are coming from set pieces, corners, because you've got the likes of Gabriel Partey now in the middle that can actually impose themselves in the box. Arsenal definitely need to rethink their striking options, because should Obama, we don't have a striker, man. That's what I can say honestly and truly. Arsenal doesn't have a striker, and that's what they need. That's what they need now, a striker.
Okay, well, so I'm just going to, what we'll do then, because again, we gave a lot of time currently to Arsenal and Spurs. What we're going to do quickly, guys, we've got about another 10, 15 minutes on, you know, our little podcast. What we're going to do is bring up this weekend's results. Okay, is that all right with you, Praise?
Oh, it's absolutely lovely. I've loved this weekend's results.
So, I mean, we'll do the little ones first and then go into the big games. Because it's one of them weekends where you look at it and you think, ah, anything can happen, you know. Give an example, right? Watford versus Southampton. Southampton's their bottom of the league. Terrible time. Bang. Getting all their, you know, fixtures back on 1-0. You know, it's a very, very, very weird situation. Where's Danny Ings now? He's at Villa, isn't he?
Villa, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe that they wanted to sell him in the first place because, you know, weird selling decision. He would have been good at Spurs or Arsenal, I think. You know, even as a backup.
Yeah, you know, I've always respected Ings as a player. There's not a bad word I can put on Ings as a player.
Injury plagued him. I think he would have done good things, you know.
I love Ings.
Liverpool drawing with Brighton. I mean, did Liverpool on that? Or apparently, Brighton was very, very unlucky not to win.
Do you know what? Brighton, I love this team. I really do. I hate playing against them. As an Arsenal fan, I hate playing against them. Because
it's just genius, right?
Tenacious, man. I love Brighton. And I love that they managed to peg Liverpool at home.
Yeah.
A small team like... Because they play with no fear, I think. The manager does make sure to listen. Because football, for me, a big part of it is psychological.
Yeah.
If you come to the cop scared, you're going to get mashed.
Can I just point out for Brighton as well, right? They're seventh at the moment. 4 wins, 4 draws and 2 losses. Whilst that's out of 10 games, it's the first time they've been in, obviously, the top seven after 10 games, I believe, in the Premier League. 2 losses, mate, for Brighton.
For Brighton, Hove Albion.
The fact of they're just so hard to beat, you know.
They'll keep coming at you. I want that Tariq Lamptey.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know, the thing that he does as well with players who are just underperforming, he just brings them back, doesn't he? I mean, it's just that being hard to beat. And you look at Spurs, 5 wins and 5 losses, 1 point behind them. Tell you what, I'd rather have the draws in there. Do you know what I mean? Being unbeaten is totally different. You have that different buzz, don't you? You know? It sounds so silly.
I'm actually looking at the stats here. You know, do you know Brighton had more shots on target than Liverpool yesterday?
Like I said to you, they smashed them. They really did.
Blimey.
They was very, very, very unlucky to not win it. They was all over. Liverpool smashed it for the first 15, 20. They were very, very lucky in that aspect. Well, not luck. It's obviously skill, but they didn't expect that tenacity for Brighton to go and take the game. Now, that's the thing. You look at these teams, right? And the whole mentality has now changed, Braze, right? When before, teams used to go and hide at Arsenal. Now they're coming at you. They're thinking Palace as well. The next game we talk about, you know.
Palace. I love Vieira. I love Vieira, man.
Instead of hiding, they're taking
the game to City. I was speaking to one of my, because I do domiciliary care, right? And yeah. I've got this client who used to manage teams back in you know, just throughout his life. He's always been football mad, and he loves to manage. And he's like, listen, I've played some teams that I was never supposed to win against, but because mentally we were prepared just to go at them relentlessly, it breaks teams down. And I see it happen with Spurs often. When you guys come up against a difficult team, you get frustrated, especially around that 60th minute. I don't know what it is. You can actually tell, like, Spurs is frustrated right now. Like, there's nothing you can do. And then it's just a one quick moment where someone just bursts in front, or, like, a ball over the top, something simple, and you're behind 1-0. One thing I always say about Spurs, to bring it back, I know bringing it back to Spurs, we move past that, but I still feel, and this is an Arsenal fact, I still feel you guys are in a all right position. The only thing that you guys genuinely have to fix is whoever's driving.
Yeah. It's mentally. We're mentally. There's something really deep in
Nuno, anytime I watch you guys play, Nuno sat down, clutching his bottom lip. Even before the game starts, he looks worried.
It
transmits to the players, which is what you're not seeing at Palace. Palace came to the Emirates and said, if you guys aren't careful, we're going to do you over. Yeah. And they almost did. Had it not been for lack of 96 minutes.
Well, the thing is, what we were talking about the other day is, right, how funny was it when you were looking, I mean, thank God for Ole. Thank God. Well, I mean, you all should thank Spurs for keeping him in a job. You all should thank us, you know, because if they're a good manager, United could be dangerous, right?
Oh, United, they scare me, man. Even if they lost 5-0 to Liverpool, they still scare me.
5-0 United, right? The fact is, and we were saying the other day, the pictures of Alex Ferguson, right, looking beyond sad, and Kenny Dalglish having the party and laughing and giggling.
Loved it. Do you know what? That is the best piece of telly I've seen in a while, man.
Mate, when they zoomed into Ollie and he had that face on him where it's like, oh, mate, don't cry, right? But, you know, we'll do a whole segment on this, right? But just the last bit, and this isn't my idea, this is Praise's, right? And you are totally right. They need to get the dark arts back, you know.
The dark arts of football need to come back to football.
All-time hairdryer. And look, I know people say it's not right, but I think Conte would really do that for them.
Do you know what? Conte United makes sense. Because do you know what? Conte's got one of those faces, even like before the game starts, you're scared. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's just got one of those faces where it's like, if I was playing for him, I'd be scared to fuck up. If I'm playing against him, I'm thinking he looks like his team, he's drilled his team properly.
Yeah.
It all starts from the manager.
Done it. But talking about crazy things from yesterday, Burnley scoring 3 against Brentford.
I didn't see that coming. I really didn't see that coming, you know.
Sean Dyche, right? I was really worried about his position. People say, don't be. You're looking at that table. Burnley, 4 points or 3, I believe they had.
They should have had 4, you know, Burnley. Didn't they get one disallowed?
Yeah, but they're on 7 points now. They're 17, 10 games, you know. If they lost yesterday, they've been on 4 points after 10. You're looking at Leeds, today's a big game for them against Norwich, and you're looking at it and you're thinking,
they should take that game, Leeds.
Norwich need to win. They need to. I don't know how long he'll stay in that job, but if Leeds could be in a struggling position, people know how they play now at the top level, they will just keep attacking. And that's a dangerous way. then when teams come up and they refuse to change their way, it works one of two ways. It goes well, like Brentford, or it goes
absolutely tits up.
You know, there's no middle ground, is there?
But what are your thoughts on Bielsa? This is the issue, because he's imposed himself and the style of play on Leeds so much that should he leave, they're going back down. Because who can come in and maintain the mentality that Bielsa had, but also build on it?
Well, you have to write the season off, don't you? You have to write it. The thing is with Patrick Vieira, I'll be honest, when he first started at Crystal Palace, I said he doesn't know what he's doing. He will lose the whole dressing room. He'll be the first manager that's sacked. How wrong could somebody be? That not only has he changed the whole style of play with Palace from Hodgson's, they wanted more attacking, exciting football, but I didn't think it could be done.
No, do you know what it is I think about Hodgson?
Go on. I've got to put respect.
Hodgson has my respect, definitely. Zaha, the interview Zaha, I think was yesterday. I think after their win yesterday, and they were saying, what's the difference between, you know, Hodge and Vieira? Yeah. And Zaha was very clever in the way he answered. Very quite political, because he said, you know what, under Roy, we played so well, but it's a situation where we weren't creating chances. We were working off what we could.
Yeah.
Right? If you see them yesterday against City, especially when Zaha got brought down, who was it that like literally bear hugged Zaha?
I was just about RKO, didn't it? It was Laporta.
Yeah. You know, I was like, the reason why that had to happen was because you knew Zaha was through. But it's like, and Vieira's made the subtlest of changes. If you actually put it for me, the subtle changes have been in, I think, A, the instructions he's given to his players, and he's just allowing them a bit more freedom to attack. But they're now attacking knowing what they're doing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no,
if you look at Leicester when they attack, I think like they've just got set triggers. As soon as someone's got, especially Iheanacho, as soon as Iheanacho gets the ball comes out to Iheanacho, they've got confidence that he's going to win that first ball, or at least do something so that second ball, that bounce on, is going to Madders or is going to a runner on the wing.
Yeah.
They now know, in terms of going forward, what they want to achieve and how they want to achieve it. I think, I don't know what it is that Vieira is doing, but I pray that it continues, because I'm loving seeing Palace play to their actual potential, because they've got some scary players, not just Zaha. Have they still got Townsend?
Mate, no. He's gone somewhere else because he scored a worldie the other day. But the thing
is, I love Townsend.
He's making Benteke look like a boss.
Benteke's always been a boss. Leave him alone. Benteke's always been a boss, man.
Leave Benteke alone. But the Conor Gallagher from Chelsea,
what a player.
He's going to be one for the future, mate. He is.
A player.
I didn't know Palace got Will Hughes as well. Did you know that?
From Derby?
From Watford. Watford.
Have they?
Yeah.
When did they get him?
I don't know. Just been some really underhanded, you know, signings as well. I didn't even know that. They've got Nathan Clark. They got told, right, Hodgson, whilst he's kept stability and kept them up, right, the average age of that squad was old. Didn't they? They got rid of like 12 players in the summer, hence why the start of the season was such a struggle for Palace.
Yeah.
So not only is it ridiculously younger, you're going, that stability, that could easily have bombed Palace alone. You know, you're making a whole thing. But going from stability to, you know what, we're going to go for it. It's worked a treat for them. I really do. Talking to changing my mind. It's done great.
Whilst we're still on the subject of Crystal Palace, I think someone that I really want to shout out, purely because even when we played against them, I was thinking, that's a solid player, is Guaita, their keeper.
Yeah.
Solid. Yeah. Solid. Solid shot stopper. And he can distribute the ball well as well. I like Guaita. It's difficult for a goalkeeper to catch your attention for the good things. You know, certain ones catch your attention for the bad things. I don't know if you remember Gomez. You just look at him, you're like, you're going to do something daft. And he always did something daft. But I really like Guaita. They've always had this is the thing about Crystal Palace. They've always had a good basis to build on. They just never have done.
Yeah, but they used to be a yo-yo team, didn't they? Yeah, but with Hodgson, they kept that stability and gone up. Bit like Villa's just I think Villa's going to struggle with that. I know it sounds silly, but I don't know. I think something just happened to them. And you're looking at the table now. Do you know what? Every season, right? And this is a fact. Every season in the top half, there's always a team that does well that you didn't expect. This season, last season it was West Ham. This season it could be West Ham.
West Ham are playing some. I love watching West Ham now, man. Jay, at the bottom, I'm loving watching West Ham.
At the bottom, there's always one big team that goes down that nobody expected. Could that be Newcastle or Leeds? Who knows? I think the January window will save.
We'll see. Yeah, we're gonna. To be fair, with Newcastle, right now it's difficult to judge them because they're in such a precarious position. And the reason why I say that is because. Who's coming in to build it? You know, they've got the money now, but who's coming in to build that?
Yeah. And also, who's going to be prepared if they do go down to stay with them?
And then bring them up. The thing is, even when you go down, if you go down to the championship, you're not guaranteed to come back instantly.
I think that's going to be a lot different when they go down. We're going to see in the summer... A mega, mega, mega transfers. Do you know what I mean? I really do. But I think they'll do the City model. I did talk to this on a previous podcast. I do think that they will get one or two really important signings like City. Because City was, when they got took over, they was exactly the same position. They bought Craig Bellamy and Wayne Bridge.
Oh, what a player. Craig Bellamy.
And I think that they need to get that whole aspect of shithousery back. They need a Craig Bellamy. Yeah. Ain't the guy, you know. You need to get someone like a Suarez in there, ask you when happy to come for the pay, all that. I don't know if Suarez is that player, but someone like that. Right, just for that, this up, praise. Have you got anything that you want to bring up just before we go?
No. Who are you guys playing next?
I mean, to be honest, as well, I'm going to raise this for another segment, guys, okay? But the main thing is with, and again, this isn't my praise and topic of just talking about Arsenal and, you know, Tottenham. It's just introducing praise. That's what I should really state. But yeah, we're getting to that, I can't pronounce it, Vitesse, again, in the Europa Conference League. Again, that'd be a whole thing we can talk about. But yeah, we get to next in the Prem, which again, I think that's going to be a way. I think we might make something. It depends.
Everton right now, you know, they started well. Last season, I liked them last season because they got rid of Rodriguez, isn't it? James.
Yeah, he's gone to Qatar because Rafa didn't,
He's a lazy player.
Yeah, that's what you got to like. But, I mean, he would have been great at Spurs, Rafa, really would have been. But after Everton, we've got a really good run. We've got Leeds, we've got Burnley, we've got Brentford, Norwich.
Brighton. I say, get rid of Nuno before that run.
Well, that do you know what? I was thinking, it's weird that you say that. I think if we get rid of Nuno, right, that... is because you can't play attacking football, counter-attacking, sorry, against them teams. You need to be on the front foot. Beat City, because they're coming for you and they play into our tactics, right? That's why we always do a job over City. But if you're against someone like Arsenal, if you're against someone like, you know, Burnley, for instance, they don't want to attack you in the way that City do. They want to play, you know, down the wings and everything. And it's so hard to counteract a team that do that kind of, you know, football. It's frustrating. But anyway, on that note, what I'm going to do is, if you're listening to us on Anchor, Spotify, please, look, give us some questions. Also, guys, this is the main thing as well, please, right, for people. We really need you to subscribe. Also, comment down below some questions for us. Tell us what you want us to talk about. And praise is kind of game for everything, I believe. You know, just see him on weekends. You know, all that kind of attitude. But seriously, mate, you know, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me on, man.
More than welcome. Hopefully we'll see you next week, right?
Yeah, man. Bring it on, man.
Exactly. Our local new correspondents praise, man, all on it. But hopefully we can get rid of these Arsenal fans, listeners. You know, they're just non-stop. Do you know what? I literally, round Derby, you guys seem to be everywhere. It's so ridiculous.
Do you know what's interesting about Arsenal fans?
You're
very right about in Derby that there are a lot of Arsenal fans. But you will only ever, and I know this for a fact because I've witnessed it and I know what Arsenal fans are like. You'll only see us when we're doing well.
When
Arsenal aren't doing well, you will not even see a single Arsenal jersey around Derby. So long as we're picking up steam, yeah, that's when the jerseys come out, mate.
Yeah, but the thing is, right, I can beat that. What about United and Liverpool fans? The Liverpool fans are worse, mate.
You know what? I really dislike... You know, out of the Liverpool and United fans, I dislike United fans because they're the ones that need the most humbling. Because Liverpool fans, they were humbled. You know, how long do they go without winning anything?
Coming seventh, coming eighth.
Then the Gerrard situation happened where he slipped and was at Denver Bar. Do you know what I mean? So I respect Liverpool fans. They deserve the success they have now, right? That I'm never going to take anything away from Liverpool. Great, great team, great players, great manager. I just, you know, they're coming towards the end of their era. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they continue. Do you know what I'm saying? Because Salah probably got two, three seasons left. Mane as well. These guys, you know, they're getting older, so they're coming to the decline. So I want to see if they will still stay, you know, consistent. But United fans, yeah, you guys, you just need humbling.
Mate, the thing is as well, like I was saying before, just before I wrap this up, you ruined my childhood. You ruined it. Winning things left, right, and
center. You ruined it for yourself, man. You chose Spurs as a team.
Ruined my childhood, Arsenal did. Winning, celebrating, you know, world tour, destroying my childhood with his knee slide. Oh, it was horrible. But yeah, guys, remember to subscribe.
Comment, guys.
Share all that, you know, praise. Thank you for coming on, brother. Seriously, it means a lot.
Man. Great. You know. I've loved the time. Yeah, I love chatting to you, man. Honestly, on to the next one if we can. My next weekend, I'll be here for it.
Not if can, when.
That's it.
What we're going to do is, once obviously we get this comment and everything out, we're going to pick a day and we'll get these out regularly because that's my fault, guys. You know, I've been doing these odd bits and all, you know, before
this. First, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, screw you, Breeze. But
Depression gets to him, guys. Just bear with him.
This whole thing of releasing one and going, you know, I think I might do one in another 2 months. We'll get that out of the way, you know. We'll do a regular segment. Thanks very much. Peace out, guys, and have a great weekend.
Nice.